Welcome to the Awakened Man Podcast, where we promulgate that your physical, psychological, and financial health are your true sources of wealth that must be safeguarded and optimized to achieve long-lasting happiness. Here, we'll discuss tactics on how you may self-actualize to reach the pinnacle of authentic masculinity by embracing true libertarian principles, arming yourself with red pill knowledge, as well as implementing the most up-to-date holistic health biohacks to optimize your health. Stop being a blue pill sheep, being led to slaughter by big government and the court system. Become an awakened man. Here's your host, Gregory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Awakened Man Podcast. I hope you're doing well today. Today, we're going to interview a man who's in another continent, close to the South Pole, and he's going to talk about his experiences, what it's like to be a red pill man in South America, and talk about some of his personal experiences dating the fairer persuasion, and at the end, how his life has improved by taking the red pill. So his name is Jorge, and he is a pilot, a commercial pilot in Argentina, the land of Lionel Messi. Jorge, are you there?
Hi, Greg. Yeah, how are you, man?
Good. Good to hear you, man. Talk as loud as you can for me. I would appreciate it. So, Jorge, tell me, what's it like in general to be a pilot? I don't know pilots at all. So what's it like flying these gigantic planes around? What's that like? What's that lifestyle like?
Yeah, Greg. I really enjoy my career. However, right now with this lockdown thing, man, it's I've been off work like for 6 months, and it's gonna take a while I can return to work again. But yeah, man, it's really a good experience, and I really enjoy flying. It's a very good job, man. Yeah.
So let me try to understand the logistics of it, because I don't know any pilots. Let's say your flight is Buenos Aires to Santiago. Okay, I don't know if you guys always get the same route, but do you like fly there and back, or do you just do one flight a day, or is there a certain amount of hours you can only fly every day? And then do they always put you up in nice hotels, or what's the whole logistics behind the routes and hotels?
That's a good part. We have these very good logistics with the hotels, so they're very nice hotels. So we're staying in these very very nice places, and not always you stay over there. You can go, for example, to Santiago and turn around, but most of the times you can stay in another city. Yeah, and most of the times I'm flying these domestic flights, but like three times a month I'm going to another city, and most of the times you kind of stay over there, because if the flight is a very short range, you do the turnaround. But yes, Rick, that's it.
So is it kind of like your route, again, is it like Buenos Aires to Santiago, and then the next day you're supposed to fly back immediately, or can you stay in Santiago for a couple of days before you fly back? Do you know ahead of time on the schedule? Yeah, you can plan a little vacation?
Most of the times is the next day you are coming back, but maybe in some... maybe if you are flying to Europe, then you can stay like for a couple of days over there, or 3 days, maybe. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And how did you get your experience as a pilot? Were you in the military, or how? Because I know here in the States, a lot of the commercial pilots were former military pilots.
Yeah, no, I'm a commercial pilot, but no, I have not experienced in the military, but. Only commercial flights. Yeah, so you go to only domestic flights in your initial years with the company, and then you go and do these international flights. Yeah, but only commercial. I have no experience with the Air Force or military aviation. No, not at all.
Last question about flying, because I'm just curious about this. Like, so do you learn at a young age to fly in those small propeller planes, and then you get hired by these companies and they train you how to fly the gigantic planes? Is that how it works? Or, I mean, what
Yeah,
has it?
that's exactly how it works. You start in this as you said, like this small aircraft, and then you escalate to a bigger one. So then I flew this, it's called a Twin Otter DHC-6. It's a 19 passenger aircraft configuration. Then I flew this Fokker 50 aircraft. It's kind of like an ATR. It's a 50, 60 passengers aircraft configuration, and then you transition to the jet aircraft that right now I'm flying the Airbus 320. It's 150 passengers configuration.
Okay. Yeah, I could spend a whole hour just asking you questions what it's like to be a pilot, but let's get to more of the red pill stuff. So, have you ever been married?
Yes, Greg. I was married for about 8 years. Actually, we were living together before we got married. I have a son. We had a son, and he's 14 years old right now. And actually, but my red pill journey didn't start there. But I got divorced like 5 years ago. She moved with she has family members living in Miami, so I got the full custody of the kid. So my whole time, the whole time he's with me or with my parents.
Wow.
That's really I'm really happy because of that, because I got full custody. His mother come to visit him like only in December and June. That's
Wow.
it. And yeah, so I don't have that problem about custody, because I know that's a nightmare,
Right.
and really happy because I can see him.
Because here in the United States, 85% of the time the woman is awarded custody. So it's interesting that you have the situation where it's the opposite. Now, did she just give up custody and she wanted you to have full custody, or did you have to fight her in court and the court decided to give you full custody?
No, it was easy because there was not even like a fight. We didn't have to. She just wanted to leave. She and she knows that he's better over here. So yeah, we decided. Actually, I guess she's better like with that freedom over there, that with her son. And man, I'm so happy because I didn't have to struggle with that situation.
Right. Is there any child support involved, or are you just paying for everything? Is she
Yeah,
self-funding?
I pay for everything about my son. I pay everything. And actually, when she's here, like on that vacation time for 1 month or 2 months, I pay for everything, including her. I know it sounds like you don't have to do that, but I don't want to ruin this for me, because I really need to see this guy in growing. So I don't want to lose this deal that we have now.
No, I
So
think it's
yeah, I
great
pay for everything.
because so many children are the collateral damage of the parents fighting, and it only hurts the kids. So I can understand completely why you want to maintain this amicable relationship that you have with your ex-wife, because ultimately it's best for your son, and ultimately that's the most important thing. Though you don't always see that played out. In most cases, by the woman who's practicing parental alienation quite a bit. So I think it's great, that you're taking the higher road. Do you want to talk about exactly why you guys divorced?
Yes, because she found she found me cheating several times. She found that on my not only on my cell phone, right in the computer. She found some I cheated on her. Yeah.
Okay, so I appreciate the honesty. So you had an affair, one affair, or was it several affairs, one time, an ongoing affair?
Yeah, I have several affairs, and but it was like hookups. I didn't have like an affair. It was hookups, like on this red pill community, they say that like pump and dump, and that's it. But yeah, but I got caught. Yeah.
And then she found out, and then she filed for divorce, and that's why you're in the situation you're at. Was there any talk by her or you after she found out about the affairs? Hey, let's work it out. Let's stay together. Or do you think she wanted to leave and go to Florida?
Yes, I tried a lot to convince her because I really the marriage it was a good marriage. We were not dealing with these bad situations at the time. So and I was really a blue pill guy. So I really wanted to make it work, but there was no way. There was no way to make it work, 'cause yeah, no, she didn't want to
I
I
understand.
couldn't convince her. Yeah, no, it
Okay.
didn't work.
So then you divorced, and this was about 5 years ago, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, and so what was your experience with women afterwards? You know, I have that old saying, like if when 10 men divorce, seven of them go back in the market to marry again, two of them go their own way and vow never to remarry, and then one of them kills themselves because, you know, 70% of suicides are done by adult men, partly because of divorce fleecing. But what did you do post-divorce?
I post divorce, I have two relationships and too many hookups, but only two relationships that like long relationships. Both of them like to like 1 year. 1 year, I lasted 1 year with each girl. It was two long relationships and then and only hookups. And before marriage, I had all these experiences with my coworkers, like with these flight attendants, and that's what like the beginning of the red pill journey. Although I didn't know the concept, but when I knew all this, I can recall all those events, and I realized, oh man. All that you say in the community is real, is true, because I've done that, I experienced that, and
Well,
it is really,
let's talk
yeah.
about that. So, who did you have the affairs with? I'm assuming it's airline stewardesses because they were just always around you when you were flying.
Yeah, I have especially two main events that are like the most that have a very impact on me, because the first one, it was my first year on the company. So there was this 40-year-old lady, and she was not really a good looking woman. However, she was okay. She was in her 40s. I was like 23, 20. Yeah, I was very young, like 22, and she was around her 40s, 42, 40 something. And we were staying in a hotel after a flight. We were in Miami, actually. And she was knocking at my door. Before that, we talked a couple of times. She was a little bit like flirting with me, but not that much. And that night she was knocking at my door, and I, of course, I knew she was married, and but you know, I'm weak and we are men, we like that, so we had sex. But what really what is really bad in this situation is not only that she's married, is what she told me. She told me that that flight was her last flight, because her husband wanted her to raise their kids, so he wanted her to be a full-time housewife. So, and additionally, he was very jealous about her sleeping in another city and about her work. And that's when I realized that after I got red pilled, all these shaming tactics, because many would say, "Oh, you are controlling with your wife. You don't want your wife to work. You have to trust your wife." And look, man, she was cheating on him.
Yeah.
In the hotel room with me, and man, that make a really big impact on me, because this guy told her, "Hey, raise the kids at home. I will give you like a salary, like a payment for this, and you can stay here at home." And the guy was an engineer, I remember that. And that's not fair, man. And that's where you see the provider. That's really sad, man. Because I guess it is a really good man. He's trying to have a wife at home, raising their children, and man. Yeah,
he doesn't know that he's being cucked. Yeah,
yeah. Right now, I feel really bad. Back then, I was just enjoying the moment. But right now, man, I feel terrible with myself because karma. You know, that's not good. Even though it was her decision, but getting involved with these married women, it's not a good thing. And that was like my first experience with a flight attendant, and let me jump to the last one, but in between there were several occasions that did happen too, but this last one, I was getting out of my last relationship as a blue pill guy, so it was hard for me, really really hard, and. I met this coworker, this flight attendant, and she was married. But the thing here is that I knew her husband, because I used to fly with him. We were not friends. I'm not friend of him, but I knew the guy. I know her husband, and that's the bad about this situation. And we started like with this filtering behavior in the airplane, in the flights, in the hotels, and we ended up having an affair for like about 2 months, 3 months, something like that. And her husband, he used to fly to Europe all the time, because he was flying the biggest plane. She calls me and she says, "Hey, my husband is 3-4 days in Europe. Come here." So it's disgusting. I know I'm really sorry about what I did. And the main reason.
Did you ever ask her straight out, "Hey, why are you having an affair?" Did you ever ask any of these women who were married, "Why are you cheating on your husband? How can you do this?" Like, just to understand their rationalization, what was their solipsistic excuse for breaking their vows?
No, I did not ask, because I was young and I wanted sex. So maybe if I asked that, they "Oh yeah, no, you're right. Oh no, let's not do this." Yeah, but yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, she's like, "When are we gonna have sex?"
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know. Actually, this last girl, she was. I ended up. I could that situation because she and her husband, they were looking for a baby. She wanted to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And they were trying for like a year. And when I found out that, I said, "No, man, I can't be here because maybe, you know, I don't want to be a father here in this situation.
That's a toxic situation. That's alpha seed, beta need, you know, and you don't know exactly what are her machinations, you know, what's her plan exactly? Maybe she wants you to get her pregnant.
Yeah, and also I'm a believer in karma, and I know that was wrong. I know, and I don't feel good, yeah, man, that's insane, and that's how I know all these red pill concepts are correct, because I think it's Facebook or Instagram, Facebook, yeah. I saw a picture of her with her husband, and they were hugging, kissing, and life is perfect. And I say, man, that's a lie. That relationship is a lie. I was sleeping with her a couple months back, and she is posting pictures like we are the happiest couple in the world. No, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of that is the prism of solipsism. You know, in her mind, everything is perfect because it's working for her benefit. And this is one of the many reasons why men should not marry, because she is getting the financial security that she wants. Or, you know, not in this case particularly, but I'm assuming the guy makes good money. He's a pilot, right? But she's getting the financial security she wants. So that satiates or satisfies her hypergamy and her need to have all the good things in life. But since he has signed the marriage contract, there's no penalty or anything if she does leave the relationship and has affairs with you or with other men. Because if she never gets caught, well, that's great. She still has the lifestyle. She can still project out this image of the perfect family with her beta husband. But if she does get caught, well, either he'll initiate divorce and then she'll get half of everything and child support or alimony. I don't know if they have alimony where you live. Or she'll just initiate divorce and get everything. So there's really no impunity or penalty for a woman to have an affair today, because what's going to happen? This is exactly the problem with no fault divorce, because in the old days, or if you look in the Middle Eastern countries, if a woman has an affair, she won't get a dime. But now with no fault divorce, she could be having all the affairs and she can get all the money from this poor unsuspecting man who thought she was faithful. So this is why I tell men, it's like, it is so foolish to marry in 21st century America and in the West, because once you sign the contract, even with the prenup, you really have no leverage and there's nothing really stopping your woman, because eventually your woman is going to grow disenchanted. She's going to become unhappy. She has all these excessive expectations and you can only maintain frame for so long. Plus, a lot of women know the system is set up to benefit them. So eventually, and I'm not saying all women are going to cheat, but eventually you're in this situation where the woman is cheating and it's really a win-win for her.
Yes. Yes. But what it's sad is, although everything is working for her, but they show no regrets. That, like,
yeah, that's the solipsism. See, it's in her mind what she's doing. That's the ability of women to rationalize what they're doing as it benefits them. So that's why I'd be curious to ask her, or for a man to ask these women, like, why are you sleeping behind your husband's back? And, you know, it'll be the same thing. He makes me unhappy, or he's a jerk. He's narcissistic, controlling, and abusive. He doesn't know how to treat his wife well. You know, it's always like making her the victim. And that's, she's white knighting you, the guy she's having an affair with. But it's always making her the victim, even though she's the one who's stepping out. And see, she can't see that cognitive dissonance, because it's the solipsism that is blocking her from seeing that.
Okay, so that's the way they get rid of the guilty conscience, right? Yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I am justified in doing this because my husband is a blank, blank, you know, fill in the blank. And he might not even be that. But in her mind, Shafiq Boy. So would you say from your experience all these years flying, like a lot of those airline stewardesses that are married are having affairs? I know that's like an anecdotal question. And then would you say a lot of those airline stewardesses would have no problem cheating with married pilots?
Yeah, I'm going to answer like you just said. Yeah, it's not all of them, but most of them. Yeah, yeah, yes. It's most of them. I guess not. I wouldn't like to say all of them, but definitely most of them. Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, some of it is the hypergamy. I mean, they're an airline stewardess. You are a pilot, so you have a higher status. They're attracted to that. They're attracted to the fact that you have a skill and you're able to fly these planes. And of course, you make more money. And a lot of these women, especially if they're single, see, well, if I can seduce one of these pilots, I can have this kind of lifestyle. And then, of course, lots of times, even if that does happen, and you might know airline flight attendants that ended up marrying pilots. But again, if she had the affair with you, the pilot, what makes you think she won't have an affair behind your back? She's already established the precedent that she has no problems cheating or seducing you. So do you know any pilots that have married flight attendants?
Yes, yes. Actually, it's very common. It's very common. And as I told you, that this last girl, she was married with a colleague. I know, actually, I was a co-pilot. I flew with the guy. We used to work together, and I knew the guy, and man, it's insane. Yeah, but it's a common practice. Yeah, getting married in this with a coworker. Yeah.
So right now, are you having a lot of trust issues with women because the woman you had the affair with, you know, she was married, and then all these women that you've encountered were all, you know, married or had no problems, you know, cheating behind their husbands, and now you feel like any woman that you encounter would have no problems cheating on you because it seems like every woman that you've encountered has no problems cheating on their husbands.
Yes, Greg, because it was not only these two events that I just told you. It is I had another situations that and after all these situations, not only these two, but plenty of them, after I know the red pill community, and I confirm what I've done, what I've lived, I say, oh man, we are no, it's game over. So I'm kind of I want to try this monk mode style of life because man, I'm done. Yeah.
Now I'm sure there are some women listening to this because my channel was predominantly female beforehand that would say, Jorge, you know, I'm glad you feel bad for cheating on your wife. You know, we probably think you're a scumbag, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. But they'll say there are good women out there. There are women who won't cheat. You know, how do you feel when you hear these women say that, these unicorns?
I would like to believe in this Nawalt girl, in this unicorn. I found it hard to believe, but yeah, I guess, and I'm not sure, maybe like the religious type of woman, yeah, maybe some woman not too much involved in social media, yeah, but it's very difficult to find. It's like winning the lottery, man. It's I don't know, but yeah, I guess there are really good women out there. Yeah, I know, but it's a very, very small percentage.
And I would tell women, you know, it's hard for them to see it from the male point of view, but marrying today is extremely risky for the man. Now, some would say, Gregory, it's risky for the woman because the woman can marry a guy who loses his job or ends up beating me and all these things. And I would say, well, look, more often than not, women benefit from marriage, especially financially. They benefit from the engagement. you know, getting the ring and all these jewelry and trips. They benefit from the marriage because they typically marry men who make more money than them. So they tap into the man's resources to get the house, the car, the trips during the marriage. And then certainly they benefit by divorce because of the way the family law system is. She gets this big financial windfall. And so I would tell women, it's like, try to understand it from the male point of view. The male has so much to risk and not a lot to gain, because yes, there are, I believe in unicorns. I believe that there are in certain exceptions, but to find out puts you at risk because, you know, she'll say all the right things at the beginning. You know, I love you. I'll never cheat on you. You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm a trad con. I believe in gender norms. You know, I'll be obedient and all these things that they think the man wants to hear. But 5 years later, 10 years later, she might not be that way. And so you don't have any safeguards. The man doesn't. And so it's a highly risky endeavor. So women, when you lament the fact that high sexual market value men are apprehensive for marrying or marriage, understand why, because the risk is so high. And then also understand too, because the sex positive movement has pushed women to believe that it's okay to sleep around. There's not as much of an incentive for a man to marry when he can get sex on the first date, second date, third date. And so that's the other thing. If all women were virtuous and all women were virgins until they got married, like we were for centuries, then you would see much more of an impetus by men to want to marry because they want sex, right? Men love sex. And so they would get married. But women as a whole are doing themselves a disservice by putting out so early, because then men are like, why do I need to take on that risk of marriage if I'm getting laid?
Yes. Yes. And that sex positive movement, that sexual revolution, I think women don't realize, but they are killing connections. They are killing families. There's no, as you say, pair bonding ability. And they don't care about that. And that's really sad.
Yeah, because if you tell women the studies, is like the more sexual partners a woman has, a higher rate she has of pair bonding problems, infidelity, mental health problems like depression, substance abuse problems. I mean, these studies, you guys can Google them and find them on PubMed. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it, because they've been taught by radical feminism in high school and in college that if men can do it, women can do it. But men and women are biologically fundamentally different. And women who have a lot of sexual partners, it hurts them. It hurts them psychologically. It doesn't hurt men as much. It hurts them, and they don't understand that. It's just frustrating, because I think women want to marry good men. Men want to marry good women. But through the event of cultural Marxism, the decline of Christianity, and the rise of social media and Hollywood's insidious effect, you just see the two sexes just kind of at this point in time where they don't necessarily see how they're really being manipulated. And it's unfortunate, and it's really unfortunate for the children, because the children are the collateral damage.
Yeah, it's really sad. And they try to act the same way as men. And we have a higher libido, and we have this. I'm not trying to justify my infidelities, but we have this. It's called the Coolidge effect, that we are aroused for different females. That's the genetic design of men. Yep. And women are not designed that way. So, but they want to imitate and act like the men, and that's ruining them. That's not working for them, but they seem not to care. I don't know, man.
So yeah. Do you feel like you're never going to marry again, but you might have short-term relationships, or do you just feel like you want to be a monk for a few months or a year? What do you see? What's the future of Jorge? You already have a child. So really, theoretically, there's no reason for you to marry, but what do you see in the future?
But I see I still have some like blue pill thoughts in my head, like and you have covered that in one of your videos, like the fear of dying alone. And I saw some video about with CGA too, about the fear of missing out. Yeah, I'm still have that in my head, but yeah, no man, I'm done. I'm done with this dating scene, dating apps, dating these modern women. Man, I want to go monk for like a year, and in a year I want to see how it looks like. But I don't want to get married ever again. No, never again.
Okay, all right. And the last thing is, how do you feel red pill exposure has benefited your life, aside from kind of preparing you and arming you with knowledge about true female nature, like hypergamy and solipsism and so forth? Aside from that, do you feel like it's helping you with your finances? I know that, you know, you're in lockdown and that you can't fly right now, but in general, the other tenets of going your own way in terms of working on your addictions, working on your personal demons, working on your finances and achieving the best person that you can be. Have you felt like those have been helping you?
Yes, sure. But I don't know with me, the first step, it's really hard. This red pill rage stage is really hard to get over it. So the first months or the first year is really, really hard, like in your head, because you are seeing the way that the reality, that you are not in fantasy land anymore. It's like Christmas. you realize there's no Santa Claus anymore. So it's a really, really, it's hard at the beginning, but and I felt lonely, and that was really hard. But now I'm enjoying my solitude, as you say, and I'm enjoying this peace and quiet, and I'm back with the gym. I'm back and getting back in the gym. I'm recovering financially, because even if you don't have a relationship, you go, you spend on these restaurants and these dates, and
yeah,
your finances increase, really, really gets better. And yeah, right now, because this lockdown situation and I'm not working, that's a bad thing. But if not, yeah, situation would be a lot better than it is right now.
And look at it this way. And how old are you, Jorge?
I am 36 years old.
You're 30. You're a pilot and you're 36 years old. You're going to be reaching, once this lockdown goes away, your peak financial earning years for the next 25 to 30 years. You deciding not to remarry, your finances are going to be in such a good state. Because see, this is something that a lot of women don't understand. It's when a man is not dating or is engaged or married, his finances are infinitely better, because he's only spending money or not spending money based on his prerogative. And men as a whole, we tend to be pretty good with money. We tend to be more frugal with money. And when a man is not with a woman, his finances are in a very good state. And so the fact that you're not going to remarry and you're only 36 and you're already making good money, I mean, your future is unlimited. You're going to have an incredible future.
Yes, Greg, and I'm thinking about, because I have to pay for the university for my son. So right now I'm saving all this money for him, and yes, in that way. And also about not only the money, about the peace and quiet. I was tired of the shit test and then the hoops and the man. Yeah. That's yeah. Nah.
It's draining. It's draining.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. Not all women are like this, but like, again, going back to finances. So women, what you don't understand is, like, when a man is with a woman, because she typically picks men who make more than them, she spends a lot of money. The woman is more apt to spend money to make the house look nicer with furniture and designer clothes for the kids. And of course, clothes for her. And so the man lots of times gets resentful. He feels like he's a human ATM machine or the plow horse. He works while you spend his money. And so part of the red pill is realizing, you know, taking the red pill and snapping out of this is like, why am I in a relationship with this woman when she's hemorrhaging my money? I tell her, stop spending so much of it. She doesn't listen. She's disrespecting me. Plus you're dealing with the nagging and or the raging and or the codependence. And again, women, not all women are like this, but this is just a common theme that you see running through men who date, you know. And I'm sure women have their own complaints about men, but since this is a man's channel, we're talking more about that. But that's great, Jorge. I mean, like, you'll probably be able to retire younger than you might, but who knows? You love flying, so maybe you'll fly until they force you to retire. Is there like a forced retirement age for pilots?
Yeah, it's 65 years.
Yeah. And do you, I know this is 30 years away, but do you see yourself wanting to fly until 65 or do you want to retire earlier?
Yeah, I would like to retire early. Yeah. I would like to be able. I would like to have the finance, the money to say, oh, I can retire any moment, and maybe you continue working, but knowing that you can retire at any moment. Yeah, I would like that, to have that.
And that's true freedom. I mean, that's the title of this podcast. It's The Awakened Man, a repository for holistic health, red pill masculinity, and ultimate freedom. And ultimate freedom largely is dependent on financial freedom. You have the choice when you run or retire. You know, if you want to retire at 50, 55, 60, that is freedom. And as a single man, as a MGTOW man, you have the freedom to do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, you know, you can in your own house, right? And you don't have to get everything approved or have to check with them and then you get in fights over it or there's constant compromise and you don't have the relationship thirst. You realize your life can be completely happy without a woman and you have true autonomy and true freedom every minute of the day. And this is something that blue pill men don't realize. They think, oh, my life is miserable without a woman. I feel lonely. It's like, no, they have to change their paradigm and see that, no, there's so many blessings by being alone because you have ultimate freedom, what you can do, and also, just as important, how you invest and or spend your money.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Jorge. Is there anything else that you want to share?
No, Gregory, thank you. Thank you for your work and all your videos have helped me a lot, as well as another content creators. So thank you, Greg.
All right. Take care. God bless, Jorge. See you later.
Take care. See you, Greg.
All right. I want to thank Jorge for joining me on this podcast episode of The Awakened Man. I appreciate his candor in admitting to it, his infidelity. And someone would say that he suffers from trust issues. Well, if you look at his experience, you can understand why. Every woman that he essentially encounters in his work is cheating behind their husband's back. So maybe you can understand that. But either way, I think it was a great interview. Hopefully you got something out of it. Just a quick correction. He was mentioning episodes and videos. He was talking about podcast episodes. That's what he meant there. But if you get anything out of this content, please consider donating to our PayPal account. Look at the episode notes of this episode or any of the episodes of The Awakened Man, or go to naturopathicearth.com and there's a PayPal link there. Another way you can support us is by buying Confessions of an Obese Child or Revelations of a Weight Loss Warrior, my two books. You can find those on Amazon, Kindle, or paperback. Another way you can help us out is, and this is the most passive way, is by going to naturopathicearth.com, and again, it's in the app. There's a link in the episode notes, and go to the food recipe episodes or food recipe articles. I'm learning. I'm picking up Jorge's mistake here, and click on the Amazon pictures there, and that will take you to Amazon from those recipe articles, those ingredients there, and anything you buy on Amazon within 24 hours. We get a 2% commission at no expense to you. So you can click on the link for cinnamon on one of these recipes on Naturopathic Earth, and I'll take you to Amazon, and then you can search dresses or
or whatever, and we get 2% commission. If you need some one-on-one coaching from a red pill perspective, or you want to lose weight, or you want to talk about toxins that are in your house, or whatever you want to talk about, there's a Clarity FM link. You can find that at the main page of Naturopathic Earth, and we can talk for as long as you need. And lastly, please subscribe to this podcast, The Awakened Man. If you get even anything out of it, it helps with the analytics with Apple. And also post an honest review. If you don't like the pivot change of us going more male-oriented, post an honest review about that. If you do like the change, post a review there. We have a 4.9 rating and close to 300 reviews. So I must be doing something right, but I do appreciate your honesty. And so I really appreciate you post an honest review. And also check out the Essential Oils and Herbal Apothecary. We just did an episode on Wednesday on kava, the benefits of kava root for anxiety and insomnia. So check that out. And go check out Confessions of an Obishad, my last and original podcast, where we talk about addictions and disordered eating and early childhood trauma. Until next time, take care. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Awakened Man Podcast. Find us on Facebook at the Awakened Man Podcast page. Subscribe and post an honest review on Apple Podcasts and consider donating to our crowdfunding account. And remember, freedom is better than needle. Until next time.
Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.